Blog Talk Radio.
Determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all.
of our own. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, Sunday night, and we know when it's Sunday night, 7 o'clock, we all get together around the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary, which are lovely, intelligent, informative, open, honest, direct to the point. Mrs. Sadie Gomez, if you're a nice hand, and don't enter the studio.
Thank you so very much to my kind and wonderful co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson. I thank you so very much for that warm welcome. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Woman Auxiliary, Local 26, coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. This is where we gather ourselves together, we sit back, we rock back, we take everything that's under the rug, we pull it out, we examine it, and we sometimes gently put it back. So we are looking at what's happening in the news, what's happening in and around us, and what do we really want to talk about on this Sunday. So much is happening in the news. We are seeing a great comedian, Cat Williams, came out and exposed all of Hollywood. The part about it that is really shocking is not the information that he brought, but the fact that no one is really retaliating in this terrible catfight. It's a case of, I say, and you can defend yourself if you want to. Can you really defend yourself against certain accusations that a man has stated when he walks into a room, people have to bend their head down? I mean, picture yourself in a situation whereby a man walks in a room and you have to bow your head in shame because he knows a little too much about you. That's the involvement with Hollywood. Hollywood is a place that once you get in, as the greats would warn you, leave the party half an hour earlier, just before the devil comes in, as you will be involved. It's a strange case, but now we're seeing exposures. Exposures like we have never seen before. Exposures where names are being called big names, but yet with retaliation, how could it be? How could it be that so many people were drawn in to such filth under the covers and guise of acting? Well, I guess it's the greatest act ever, because now you really have to put on your best role, your best face, because heads are rolling in Hollywood right now. Big names, you know, yeah, hit even the religious sect. And we are wondering, how come religion is being tied in with Hollywood and music industry and all this scandal? We are seeing where the church simply overlap into the laps of the crazies. And what is the church doing in Hollywood hip-hop? What is a pastor with a large congregation of over 30,000 or more doing in a hip-hop after party? It is certainly not appropriate. So when these names are being called and these activities that are known to take place in the Hollywood arena, it's really a shady place for a pastor to be, especially a man of God who seemingly separated himself from the world. Now, what business have you in hip-hop business when you're supposed to be in the business of God, God's business, taking care of your sheep? It is written, woe unto the pastor that did not feed his flock. We are seeing a case of exposures. It is 2024. It's the number 8 that we are playing with in this year. For those of us who like to have a little touch, a little flirting with numerology, we understand a lot of important events are based on numbers, like, you know, 911, what's the emergency? And we see a case where the wise, cultic wise, can use numbers to our detriment, their detriment, or even literally set the world on fire. It is important that we know of certain things. We may not know of the practice or the science of certain things, but you know, my City Sunday audience, you know, you come here for the slice of the pie, you come here for the slice of the real. So let's just say knowledge is safety. Safety in terms of understanding where we are, who we are dealing with, what time it is, and the powers that be, what are they really, really ruling people with? They have thrown religion in many cases. And should we study religion? It is the biggest occultic practice ever, because religion has nothing to do with our Heavenly Father. The great one that sits upon his throne, called by many names, the one and true name, Ahaya, the name of God, called of many names. But Father, within his divine wisdom and mercy, he knows if we call him God. We know we were taught the wrong thing all along. It was placed in our head, and we are innocent into knowing and understanding the true name of God, since the powers that be that ruled us gave us many, many names, especially in the case of the slavery and post-slavery, where we were taken away from our land, our language, our God, our religion, our families. We never really had religion as a people, as a black people, spirituality, and we understand who the Almighty Creator was, and we did communicate with him. We communicate with Mother Earth. We gain all our sustenance from deep faith and belief in the Creator and the creation, and respect unto the Great Mother. Again, we come back to the fact that Mama Africa, the great beautiful mother, of whom was raped and tortured and brutalized in such a way that her children cried, bleed, and was taken away from her. But we understand now that we want to go back, just not just back physically, but back with our heart and our mind felt, back into the sweet arms of Mama Africa. We would understand that how much was taken away from us, and what was given to us was just a bag of garbage. Yeah, you would hear it here at City Sunday, you know. You would hear that religion was garbage. Yes, it was, and still is. It was meant to divide and separate us. But we're talking about spirituality, of which we'll have to have a whole night for this topic, whereby to get to the meat of the matter, I will have to bring on a few really advanced spiritualists, I should say, but we'll have that conversation on a different evening, on a different time, but definitely we'll have to sink our teeth into African spirituality one night and the show really deeply for our children, ourselves, to get back to where we really belong to fight this year Armageddon that we are about to face. Again, 2024. I'm not just jumping all over the place. I'm trying to give all this information into this squeeze, 3 days information into this 2 hours. But all the same, we are here this evening. Our wonderful studio audience is also part of a big family of intellects. They themselves come on and they let us know what they know. It's always a pleasure to have them as well. But as I was talking concerning 2024, before we move right into what everybody has want to talk about, seeing that this show is everybody's show when we open the doors. So 2024, we are talking of the number 8, and we see that it's a year where karma is going to rule. For those of us who believe in karma, I prefer to picture it. When I think of karma, I think of first the big boomerang, you know. Whatever you throw it out there, it's coming back to you. It's coming back with a speed. I hope you're ready for it. So we observe in karma in this year of 2024. Whatever you do, be careful. Do good, and good shall follow you. It's the best advice I can give to you on the Sadie Sunday Show. Do good, and good shall surely follow you. And as a good book say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's Sadie Sundays, hereby, you know, we touch upon the scriptures because we just love the Lord so much. It is our only reason for being, is to serve, and to serve our great and heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. We love the Sundays where we can just relax and know definitely who is in charge. On the physical plane, we may not know who is in charge because it's soon to find out that nobody's really in charge. No one is holding that big steering that you all think is keeping this thing running and somebody is captain in the ship. Oh, wake up just now. You'll find out for those who are woken. There's only one in charge and he sits on his throne. His name is called Ahia, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's the only one in charge. While we're upon the earth and man is running around with their crazy selves, no one's in charge. You'll soon find out. After April, you'll soon find out what's going on. I strongly suggest that as you continue to listen to Sadie Sundays, you will see that you will need to put a mark on your door until this calamity we overpass. I am just saying, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a little rough and bumpy after April, or rather after March. So we look forward to April, and we shall see. For those who are woke, remember you heard it here earlier on the City Sundays that you should anoint your doors and say in prayer for what is about to come upon the earth. Men's heart will faint for what is about to come upon the earth. We are really not ready for the destruction that is to come. And speaking of destruction and strange things, and of course the news, which we look at, we examine, and sometimes we place back. Here we've seen a case in Miami, in the mall, 2 weeks ago perhaps, there was a sighting of 10-foot creatures in the mall. Three strange creatures, humanoid in nature, but not humankind, belonging to our being, but yet a being, was sighted in Miami Mall. I guess the beings wanted to come out and shop. Why not? They were 10 feet tall. A lot of people saw these creatures. They appear to, as much as possible, be more on the human side. They were over 10 feet tall, dark skin in nature, very strange looking. And the police was called to the mall. All 50 squad cars, helicopters, and the whole charade. Only to find out from the police, one police, I guess, they had to put somebody as a spokesman, said there was a large fight that broke out at the mall, so it was necessary for the cop cars to come in and settle the fights and all that. But we know kids often go to the mall and cause confusion because kids are going to be kids. Not oftentimes you see 100 squad cars racing to a mall and helicopters just because kids are having a fight. When you bring news and you bring a cover-up, it only causes people to investigate further what is really going on. Now, we don't want to start talking about conspiracy theories and this and that and that and that. What we want to concern ourselves with is the truth. What is really going on? What really happened in Miami in the mall? For those who were eyewitness and brought videos, one guy was asked, why didn't you take a picture? He said, when I saw the creatures, I froze. It was no time to take out your cell phone. Imagine if you see something that is totally overwhelming, your heart will sink. There's no time to take out a cell phone, take a picture, put a caption, post on Facebook. No, we don't have time for that. If the strangeness of the event, our heart will froze. We'll be so weak in the knees, we won't even know what to do. Picture yourself being extremely frightened. You might even go number two in your pants, who knows? Because fear is a different kind of factor. So we are seeing these youths made a report of what they saw. It's being nicely covered down, as things are normally do. And the report states it was a gang of kids fighting that caused such a commotion at the mall. So those eyewitnesses who saw told it was something totally different. So my wonderful studio audience will have to wait and what is happening in Miami at the mall? Who went shopping? We see the news, and even stranger still, is what we're seeing on the political arena. For those of us who step out for a minute and we observe what's happening in the politics, we know it's an election year. Very importantly, it's an election year. This is the time where decisions are made. People are put into places selectively, and the masses jump around and a big hallelujah, hallabaloo. They drink a lot of liquor. They vote for their favorite person and whoever needed to be placed in that given year for whatever purpose will be so, whether we like it or not. And that is what we call democracy. Here we are. With the politics, Republicans are yet trying to get a front runner, but we cannot help but observe that the man, Trump, is running at 48% right now, if news be true, because, you know, the journalists, we have to cipher and siphon everything. We don't know what we are bringing these days for the 6 o'clock news. It's quite different from the 10 o'clock news, I would assure you, because this thing is shifting like, who knows, the news itself is starting to shift. I can't even tell you. Catch the 6 o'clock news by 10 o'clock, you're like, oh my God, did I really see that? Oh yes, she did. So Mr. Trump is running at 48%. Nikki Haley, which is contender, she's going at 20%. DeSantis is running at 16%. And that's what we are having to come up against. It's the election year, 2024, whether you like it or not, somebody got to sit in the hot seat. Oh, we're not talking about running country. We're just talking about the hot seat, you know. Running country is a different story. Or for those of us who know, there's just a three wise men that does that. They have nothing to really do. Who's sitting down there posing in the puppetry that is projected to us on a daily basis. So we are seeing a wonderful election here. And for the Democrats, of course, we have Biden who is hanging on there, but we don't know what's really happening. I don't know if they're trying to seek out Michelle Obama. I don't know what they're trying to do. But I'll just let you all know at the end of the day, it's going to be Barack Obama around the country, and you'll feel it here first. And I say this Sunday, don't try to tell you all when you all find out that things have changed and there'll be a third term and who slips in. But you all will all find out that after all, it's 2024. We will find out everything before the year is over. But the year has started, and word to the wise, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be rough and bumpy. So, Sadie Sunday, this is Sadie Gomez for Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26. Dr. Robinson, could you let me know how the studio audience are shaping up?
Okay, we open up some mics. 503-270.
Okay, 503-270, you're on the air. Mics are open. Welcome to the show. Welcome, caller. I know you have a very familiar voice. You wasn't coming off so clear this evening, but we welcome you. And whatever you like to tell us this evening, your mic is open. Share with us what you like for us to hear from you this evening. Okay, anyone else? Dr. Robinson, and his caller did give a little introduction of himself. It's quite a familiar voice, but he came off a little bit scratchy for the radio.
503-270, your mic is open. Unmute yourself. Okay.
503.
We have a little difficulty with the weather and everything in the radio programming department is located in Midwest, and we're having some storm or something. So call back in, people. Some people dropped off. Call back in.
Okay, so Dr. Robinson, you and I are here for the chat. Have you seen the video that was made by Club Shishi and Cat Williams?
Yes, very interesting. It's a lot. It's more to it than what we think. I think it's more to it. I think it's a much, much more. Because I noticed one thing.
Give me your thoughts.
I noticed that black entertainers are starting to attack each other on all levels. Taraji P. Henson, she's getting on Oprah. Oprah's not paying her well. She's a 20-year veteran of the entertainment world. She's an Academy Award-winning actress, and she's paid her $450,000 for The Color Purple. A white girl who played a minor character paid her $1 million. So Taraji P. Henson is saying, well, you know, how that works out. You know, then I'm getting paid much less, and she's getting paid more. And so you're hearing a lot of African-American actors and actresses attacking each other. This one did this one to me, and you're getting all this inside information. Football, sports, African-Americans attacking each other. The entertainment world, the music world, they're attacking each other. The movie world, they're attacking each other. These people are supposed to be considered extremely successful, multimillionaires, billionaires, et cetera, and they're attacking each other. I believe that it's the deployment of the enemy. African-Americans got to remember something. The white man been doing this for years to us, sitting the white American. I'm not talking about the Europeans. I'm not talking about people in other places. I'm talking about what I know. I don't want nobody to get upset with me. I'm not talking about Africa. I'm not talking about the Caribbean. I'm not talking about Europe, Asia, Middle East, or whatever.
You're
I'm talking about this melting pot with all these this melting pot with all these, like a soup with all, you throw everything in there and try to make it taste good. So I'm talking about America. I'm talking about white Americans and African Americans. We do not get along. And people might wonder why we don't get along, because we cannot share the same space in the same capacity. See, and when you're in the same country, it's inevitable, and it makes sense. I don't care whether you all the same culture, the same people, the same language, but it's common sense. Even in tribes, every once in a while, after a certain amount of time, one tribe rises up, where the other tribe was on the top and controlling everything and controlling the village and controlling all the resources. That tribe that was on the bottom, after a certain amount of years, their kids or the kids after them rise up. And that is the problem in America. African Americans are trying to rise up, and white Americans are saying, no, 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 you're not equal to me. You cannot be equal to me. And I think across the board, white men who are causing all this chaos, and white women, they feel they all in cahoots together, and they all agree that they do not. You hear me, African American people? White Americans do not want to see you equal to them, above them, none of that. The so-called democratic liberal whites, they want you subservient to them. They might help you. They might give you little crumbs. They might pat you on the head. They might say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, the people did that to you. But the nevertheless, the goal for the white man in America, the white American, is to not let the African American rise above them. This, we can look back in the case of history. When they brought us here, they didn't bring us here on a cruise ship as a visitor. Okay, they didn't bring us here as tourists, or you know, we didn't come in that. We came in terrible conditions with no expectations. When a person strips you down to like an animal, when a person dehumanizes you to that point and continues to psychologically abuse you, that person has no intentions of you doing anything equal to them. Note that, African Americans. Note that, white Americans. They do not want you to succeed. So anytime you see these people, because these are A-list actors, these are top-notch sports figures, top-notch singers, they are popular all over the world. They had the nerve. I'm sure what the white man does is to separate and divide. Taraji P. Henson that black African American actors don't appeal to international audiences. Bullshit. The most popular actors, singers, football players, basketball players, sports figures, let's face it, is African American, internationally known. Muhammad Ali was internationally known. Jack Johnson in 1800s, internationally known. Count how many white counterparts in the music industry, in the sports industry, and the entertainment industry have the same level of exposure that African Americans have. Our culture remnants all across the world. You go to Japan, they got their hats turned back with their pants behind their butt, and they're singing rap music by these black young rap artists. I don't like the music, but I'm just telling you that is very popular. So what I see is stupid African American people allowing themselves to be used by the white man, by the industry, because they know that if they sit back and let you expose your weaknesses, they can continue to destroy you. Thank you, Cat Williams. You say you're a man of God, Cat Williams. I met him. I know Cat Williams personally. He claims he grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist home, and his mother was so religious and his father was so religious, that's why he had to leave when he was 13 years old and run away, because they was holding him back from doing what he wanted to do, which is probably hang out with his friends all night and drink and whatever else young people want to do back in those days, because he's not in my age group. He's 20-something years my junior. But I'm saying, Cat Williams, Shay Shay, Steve Harvey, Eric Cedric the Entertainer Robinson, Oprah, you know, you keep calling these names, Gail, Oprah, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. Listen, you people, y'all know what it is. Y'all know what it is. Tiger Woods, at the age of 13, when he started playing pro golf, he said it. He said, these white people don't want me here because I'm a black boy. What happened to him now that he don't marry white women and got to have white kids and whatever? Well, I'm not going to wrong with that. But what happened to his perspective? He got a whole nother, I'm a blazing, totally giving up because he's running away because the society, the industry that he's in is telling him, do not be a proud, upstanding African American. Why they chasing these people away from their heritage, from their contribution, so they can continue to do what they're doing now? Stupid African Americans, you're stupid. They continue to destroy us socially, economically, historically. That's why they keep saying we ain't got no history in America. We ain't did shit because you people keep acting like fools, and so. You divert from the real issues, which is CRT, the financial, economic, and physical and mental destruction of the African American community, the culture, the history, the Native Americans that we're connected with. Most of us are either most of us cheat Indian. Some people are Blackfoot. Some people are this, that, and the other. We all related together. We've been in this place before them crackers got here. And we're going to, you know, and we started establishing and built every damn thing that's here. You think they want you to be famous? You think they want you to be popular enough that you will start to expose some of the things that you know now, since you're a multimillionaire, billionaire, since you're an A-list actor, since you're sitting in rooms and listening to things that's going on? Any rich black person can tell you, when you sit in those rooms and you may go to the bathroom and come back and hear all these, and you sit at the door and just listen, and they talking all their jive because you might be the only black person in the room. I have been in those situations, being the only black person, and understanding that they're feeling they're giving me a permission to be there, though I bust my behind to get there. First of all, we got to understand something else that a lot of these people don't understand. You, first of all, you got to be twice as good as them. They don't give you nothing. Come on, y'all. They don't give us nothing. They're not saying, you know, that old adage that affirmative action was getting black people into Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Duh. Not by no standards, not by no means. That's a whole bunch of bullshit. You had to be still twice as good. The only thing affirmative action said was, if you're that good and they're not letting you in because you're African-American, now you can come in. That's all that did, and we didn't get any kind of benefit from it. It's mostly the white women got benefit from it. But here we go with the Cat Williams story. Cat is a very intellectual person. He don't have a formal higher-level academic background. I don't think he, because he left his home when he was 13. So I don't even know if he finished high school. I know he didn't go to junior college or anything like that. But Cat is a very intuitive, spiritually person. He's a very, very intelligent person. But his life, what he don't understand is his life took the wrong turn. When he left his house at 13 years old, if you saw the whole interview, Sadie, what term did he leave his parents when he left the house? He said, I had an altercation with my father. He said his father nearly beat his behind half to death. Why? Because old black men back in them days, black men did not take no mouth from no child that they brought in this world. They have a saying in the African-American community, I brought you in this world, I can take you out of this world. And so black men back in them days,
they ain't, especially a Seventh-day Adventist man who believe what the Bible says, and he believe a child should be humble unto their parent, or God is going to forsake them. You know, the Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father, so that they can be on the earth. Right. So a lot of times, you know, his father probably thought, this boy here is so disrespectful, I better beat his ass so much right now so he'll get down. So him and he left him, he took his dog. His story was, and I'm sure you heard it, he said he took his little puppy, he took his knapsack with all his clothes and whatever, little some peanut butter and jelly or something, and he left. He left at 13 years old, but he left on, look what kind of terms he left on. His father beat the hell out of him. And he looked at his father and he was like, you know what? This man is going to kill me, or I'm going to kill this man. It's best for me to leave. That's a hard thing for me to swallow, a 13-year-old boy leaving his parents under those conditions. Every child have said to their parents, I'm going to run away. And I have said to my parents, you know, I didn't say that loud. But you know, all children ran away. You might went up to the roof, you might went to the backyard, you might went, you know,
went to the bus stop and did a little violent and back and came back before the bus.
Yeah, you go out in the field and you stay all night long and you come back in the morning and everybody make up, you get you some pancakes and syrup and some coffee, whatever, maybe milk because you're that young. But I'm saying, you know, He left on a bad condition, so quite obviously there's a dysfunctionality there. There's nobody that I know of that can just walk and leave their parents at 13 years old, your father beat the hell out of you and you leave. No man can tell me that because they're 50, 45, or 48, or 30, that 13-year-old boy that had that horrific experience with his father, he loved his father. He said he loved his father and his father loved him. He loved his mother, and his mother loved him. He was concerned about his two little younger brothers. Sound like maybe he felt his father was physically abusive. So he was concerned about his young two little brothers. I don't know the whole – he didn't explain the whole details of everything. He even didn't explain the outcome of his two little brothers. But and they were like 5 and 3 when he left. So I'm saying nobody can tell me that's not a dramatic experience. Very dramatic experience. It has a tremendous psychological effect on you. And as you get older, even though he's a nice, people say he's a nice guy. He, you know, since he got multi-millions of dollars, he would go to shows and different places, and he'll see young comedians or young actors, and he know that they were making no money. He would give a lady envelopes to give out to the different people at when they finish their shows and stuff like that, so they have some money. Because he said he knew they were broke. And this man, Bootsy, the rapper Bootsy, a very mean man from Georgia, he cried and he said, you know, I was really down and out when I started out in the business. He said, I was really out. He said, I ain't no Cat Williams from the hole in the wall. But he had a lady come to me and she handed him an envelope with cash, $15,000. He has a heart. He has a good heart,
yeah.
Cat Williams. He has a good heart, but he's not using, and he said he loves God, he talks to God, but the Bible says, because God says, and I know sometimes people might accuse me of not doing this, God said, whatever you do for me, do it with love. Have some love in there. You know, don't be just so demonstrative, but have some love in there. Show love to your brother, your sister. Show love to the stranger. Show love to the foreigner. Show love to the stranger. Show love. So, you know, he's hurt. I think a lot of his dysfunctionality got to do with the way he left his parents. I don't know if he went back to his father. I don't know if they made, you know.
For a while, because that's Cat Williams at 13. And we all could talk about ourselves at 13 years. We could even talk about ourselves at 21. We could even talk about ourselves when we were made a change. Because if we want to talk about somebody way back, we can talk about Paul on his way to Damascus when his name was Saul and God changed his name to Paul. What was he going to do? He was torturing Christians. He turned around and wrote some of the best scriptures. So we're not talking about a man's past. We're talking about presently today. Because on this examination here, we are talking about a man who has gone through certain experiences and has a fit to talk. We're not talking about a 13-year-old boy, because then we can talk about Paul on his way to Damascus touching Christians. What turned him around? We are talking about someone who is brave enough to stand up in the industry and say, this is what's happening. And it's the truth. It's the truth we examine on Sunday.
Yeah, but I'm saying how you perceive things is how you grow up, too. Your life.
Yeah, but
your life.
Dr. Robinson,
I left my home when I was 15 years old to go live in a dormitory at the college. I went to college when I was 15 years old. I went upstate to university, and I left my home, and I went and stayed in the dormitory at 15 years old. But I didn't leave in those circumstances like he did. You know, I left with love but don't you feel that he has three ex-wives, he got several girlfriends that he have babies with and that he's living with. He doesn't have he said that he took his children, his first child, away from the, he didn't explain too much about the mother, but somehow he ended up being a single parent with little kids at the age of 16. So I'm saying there's so many dysfunctional things that he's talking about, because I know that for him to leave under those conditions at 13, that has a fundamental psychological effect on who he is as a person. That will affect him. How he represents himself in relationships, that would affect him. How he relates to people. It's a lot missing there. When you look, Kat, I'm not saying Kat is a bad guy, but when you look at Kat and you talk to Kat, you see that he has a dysfunctionality. He might be a good comedian. He might be a good actor. He might have some qualifications there. He has a comprehensive skill that he can pick up on things mentally. He has like a photographic memory and a good comprehensive skill. He can study stuff real quick. He has like a high level of intelligence.
Dr. Robinson, when a man can go to the Hollywood industry, in the music industry, and the next man did not bend him over and sex him, is a man after my own heart. A man who did not have another man bend him over and put his dick up his bottom is a man I would appreciate at any length. He's not dysfunctional, because if he was dysfunctional, Puff Daddy would have long bending over and fuck him. It's a silly Sunday, so we understand what we can have a conversation here. We are talking about
I don't know, because look at this. All these guys have wives and kids. So I don't know if Steve went to bed with somebody. I don't know if Kevin Hart went to bed with somebody. I don't know the brother Faison. I don't know if he went to bed with somebody. I don't know. He loves Bernie Mac, but I don't know if D.L. Hughley went to bed with nobody. If Mark Curry, you know, I don't know. I don't. You know. I know Steve personally. Like he's my good friend. We call each other all the time. But I hung out with Steve. I know Steve, but I don't know if. I don't really think in my heart of hearts Steve will go with a man and go with a child or doing any kind of crazy stuff like that. I don't see it. I don't see it. I just don't, for knowing the person, I don't see that kind of character.
All right. Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric the Entertainer Robinson. I know him a little bit, don't know him a lot, but I don't see him. He has wife and kids. I don't see these guys, you know, younger guys might do whatever to get whatever. Okay.
Let me open your eyes for 1 minute here, because you seem to be not understanding that you're in 2024 and it's Shady Sunday. So let me open your eyes for you right here and now with some live conversation. In Atlanta, Georgia, right now, we have 90% of the men in Atlanta, Georgia, right now, and I'm calling a big figure because it's something that was given to me in a live. We studied this. 90% of the men in Atlanta, Georgia, right now have a boyfriend. They're gay. They have wives, children, and they're sexing each other in their special clubs. Right now, a bouncer in a club in Atlanta, Georgia, is my personal friend. He told me when the club is over in the morning, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, his hardest job is fighting the wives who have guns in the car park waiting to shoot their husbands coming outside with men. This is something that's happening right now. He's a bouncer in the club. He told me this. So don't talk about who has husband and wife and everything else. We are talking about the gay agenda where men are in the double role in this country with wives and their boyfriend. Don't claim you don't know this thing.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I know because the women tell me.
Georgia has a large LGBTQ population. They got a lot of them there. Georgia has a lot of LGBTQ. It's a lot of them in Georgia. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if they all moved there because sometimes birds of a feather flock together. So sometimes the gays, they move a certain place and they tell the next gay, the next gay, the next gay, tell the next gay, the next gay, the next lesbian, tell the next lesbian, and next thing you know, you got a whole town of them. Yeah, and they're well-to-do, rich gays, and they all live down there in Georgia, and they're doing their thing, whatever that thing is, you know. But I'm saying I personally don't know what goes on, but I'm saying just certain people, you know them for a while and you've seen them there in certain positions and stuff like that. And not that I don't go to P. Diddy's parties and all that kind of stuff. Probably got wrapped into one by mistake or something. Back in the day, a lot of things people don't tell you is that P. Diddy parties or Steve, all these rich people parties, when you get invited, nobody says to you, oh, you know, by the way, they're going to have sex with men and women are going to have sex with women. They don't give you the directions.
You go
blindly, and then when you get there, you figure it out at that point. But all I'm saying is to say this, okay? When you a man and you stand like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, act like a man, there's very few men. Very few, maybe one that's a little out of his head, but there's very few men will try a man. Because if you did, because what's his name got beaten down by some people but I don't know why he keeps doing it. P. Diddy, somebody beat him down, you know, because these gangsters off the street. But I'm just saying to you this, if you a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, and a man knows that you a man and he can talk, you and him talk and y'all relate, he knows your boundaries. He knows what you will take and what you won't take. And sometimes, you know, P. Diddy, I guess because he's power and stuff like that, he says certain things to people and see what they do. So if you stand up and say, listen, man, I ain't about that in front of everybody. Don't wait to privately, but a lot of these guys, they need the work, they need the job, they need the music, they need the connection, they need the resource, they don't need to be cut off. So people do what they do for survival purposes. But this is a time of revealing and things are coming to the end. But what I'm saying to say this, I mean, I wouldn't want that from nobody's child. I wouldn't want that from my child. I wouldn't want all these young men getting exposed to something that they didn't sign up for. They didn't have no inkling that these things happen or these things are going to happen. They get drugged up and get drunk and high and whatever, and find themselves in a very compromising position, not knowing what they're doing. A lot of the parents, you know, I don't know how somebody convinced Usher's mother at the age of 13, 14 to let him just go live with P. Diddy. I mean, I don't understand that. As a parent, child that age, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done it. I don't care how much money he got. I don't care what the opportunities that's going to come about. But I don't know how his mother knew the producer and the manager. I've got his name. She knew him, and he was telling her that this is a good opportunity for Usher to get out there with his music and get exposed and become famous and blah blah blah. And he can go meet this guy named Diddy, and this guy gonna help him out. And that's how he ended up going over there at 13 years old. And Usher don't shy away. He said he saw some things and he shouldn't have seen, you know. But I'm saying this
Did you see him in a dress last month?
When you look deep into it, it's not our culture. It's not from us.
Have you seen Usher in a skirt last month? Did you see him in a skirt with his nails done?
When is this?
Have you seen Usher picture in a miniskirt with his nails done?
Where? In a movie?
In a no, just hanging out. Because they're pushing the button where men are wearing skirt. Usher was going out with a skirt. Bobby
Well, you know, Will Smith's son, you know, he's not wearing skirts or whatever that was all about. He wanted, you know, and there's a lot of confusion there because people got money, they got different feelings. But what I'm saying is to say this. I don't care what nobody say. African-American men have to understand that they might look good. The Bible says the devil would come. He's going to look good. He's going to smell good. He'll have everything you want. He'll have everything you needed. But in the final analysis, he's trying to destroy you. The white man have tried and tried and tried to destroy the African-American man, and he's doing it through money, and he's doing it through giving them their pleasure. Oh, you like to smoke, you like drugs? Oh, here you go. Oh, you like alcohol? Here you go. You like women? Here you go. You like men? You like whatever you like. They will give it to you because that's what they do. They got plenty of that stuff going on in white Hollywood from the beginning of time. They've been doing changing each other, sex, and all this stuff is going to Hollywood here forever. Before they let African-American people perform in Hollywood, they were doing that. That's their game. But they put it on these people because what? You know, P. Diddy for all his life, since he was a little boy, he wanted money. He wanted to be rich. He wanted all this power. Now here he comes into to this world where people are saying, yeah, you can have this if you do this. Now they saying he was a Clyde Davis boyfriend. He was Kitty Davis boyfriend. He was Suge Knight, and he was with this other man. And I said, damn, you got more boyfriends than Elizabeth Taylor. You know what's up with that? But I'm saying this to say this. Me personally, I see deeper to it. It's an angle and methodology to destroy the African American man. They're doing it to what I said 35 years ago. I said, brothers, they're gonna hit us with poverty. If you ain't self sufficient, independent, and got your own money, and you gonna be, and everybody's on different levels now. Some people working class, some people poor class, some people no class. Some people high class, some people whatever class you want. Some people got more money than they can count. But it comes with circumstances. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't know. I made my first million when I was 18 years old. I didn't know the circumstances. When you're young, you don't think about all the circumstances, what goes on. I never had those experiences what they're talking about because I never was in I was never a part of the music and entertainment and movies industry. As a performer, I financed movies, I financed concerts and different venues for music and, you know, records and labels and stuff like that. But I never got involved in myself personally singing, dancing, or acting, even though as a young kid, I went to singing and acting and dancing school because I thought I wanted to do that. But when I got older, I wanted to do something else. But I'm saying that I was there on that part of it, so I saw and heard certain things. There's some things you listen to and some things you let go in one ear and go out the other. But I'm saying, to me, from what I see, they do not want the African-American man to be independent, to be self-sufficient, and to be strong and stand up against what's coming now. So bad stuff is getting ready to come down. And if they can weaken you, because there's a war coming down. If we don't have people sleeping, go ahead and sleep. You know, I said to people, when this Professor Gates thing went down at Harvard, it was more to that than just plagiarism. It was more than just anti-Semitism. There's a man, Bob Ackman, he owned Pershing Corporation, a multi-billion-dollar corporation. He's Jew, and he wants to change the directory of the power of the Jewish people. He's trying to rise above the white Anglo-Saxon Christian. He wants to be more powerful. He wants the Jew to be more powerful than them. So what that happens with me as an African-American male, I'm like the child. The mother and the father get messed up. The children in the middle. I'm like the child. I'm in the middle, okay? But I ain't got what the Jew got. I don't have what the white Anglo-Saxon Christian male has. The finances, the power, the influence. I don't have all of that. But I'm saying I don't want to be in the position where I need them. because when the war is coming, the man already talked about he already met with somebody. He already talked about he organized a group of multi-million-dollar Jews, and they're getting ready to redirect the directory of this country for their purpose. And the same guy that tried to push out Professor Gay for plagiarism, his wife just was denounced for plagiarism. He said it don't mean nothing to him, because he said the only reason he said the fact they come after my wife just means that I'm doing the right thing, and they're getting scared. So he takes it from that position. But I know that Professor Gay did not plagiarize in 1989, 1990, because if she did, she wouldn't be in the position she is right now. Okay, if it was all that bad. But here we come with the plagiarism. Here we come with all the bullshit. And then the other thing is,
Let me interrupt you for a minute here, Dr. Robinson. Professor Gates' case was she was not pro-Israel. She did not answer correctly on whether Israel was slaughtering people in the Gaza. She was
trying to answer correctly. She did. She asked what the Jew people want her to say, but she answered correctly as a president of a university. Anybody who's been in college, anybody who went through all that whole process knows there is constitutional law that dictates how those colleges and universities are ran. She can't say. They know that. The Jews don't give a damn about a black woman. They'll make her say something she ain't supposed to say and get fired for saying it. So damn if she do, damn if she don't. But I agree with her. She stood on the ground.
They wanted her out, and they used that. Because her position was very powerful. And, you know, she stepped away very eloquently.
Listen to me. What people keep missing, because black people really go to sleep and don't listen to nothing. The woman did not leave because of plagiarism. That was what the Jews kept pushing.
No,
because they got
no, she
money,
didn't.
Pay. Huh?
That was not the case. They have a different agenda why they want her out. She's not pro-Israel.
No. They want her, but check this out. The woman from MIT, the Jewish woman, isn't she still there?
Yeah.
They bought Harvard, they bought UPenn, and they bought MIT. I didn't know UPenn and MIT was considered Ivy League at the level of Harvard. Harvard is Harvard. Harvard's been around for God knows how many hundreds of years. It's a university with everybody and their mama with Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Those universities are on the same level. I didn't realize UPenn, yeah. MIT. But let's look at how they set the stuff up. These white Americans are smart. They ain't stupid. They said, oh yeah, let's bring in the black one. But why would you bring in Yale? Why would you bring in Princeton? The real three Ivy League universities in America. Why you bring UPenn and MIT, which was considered not Ivy League A class, but maybe C class or D class, but it's somewhere in the Ivy League a statue. But it's nothing compared. UPenn and MIT is nothing compared to
Harvard. No way.
It's nothing compared to Harvard. I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to
Harvard.
Harvard's
Princeton, but Yale.
The Jewish people, like most people, I'm going to put it out there. Jews and most people think if I can down the African American people, the white man, kiss the white man's ass and down the African American people, I can become famous, I can become rich, I become powerful. That's what the Jews are trying to do. They're trying to destroy a group of people who they feel is stepping in their way. Jews never had a president, but we slave people got a president. Jews never had two people sit on the Supreme Court at the same time. We got two African Americans on the Supreme Court. Dig what I'm saying? We African Americans are the only people in the world that have 90-year-old millionaires. We are powerful people. We are economically, socially, academically powerful people. And if we don't stop to understand that, we cannot let nobody derail us from who we are. Can't change history. You can't change 400 years of history. And the white people are trying to do that. They're doing that through what? Like Dr. Claude Anderson said, they're doing it through immigration. They're doing it through white poverty. They're doing it through a Jewish wealth. The white Anglo-Saxon using the Jewish people to try to down the African-American people so they can lift them themselves up. They can give a, they don't care about the whites. The Jews will never be. The Jews think that their money is going to make them white. White Anglo-Saxon American want nothing to do with Jewish people, okay? But they'll use the Jews and anybody else they can to down their worst enemy. Who's their worst enemy? Who's the worst enemy to white America? African-American men. We're their worst enemy. They're scared as hell of us. Why? Because African-American men get to a certain point, either you're going to kill me or you're going to get rid of me, but my mouth is big and I'm going to keep talking and I'm going to tell all what you're about. And so they hate us. And there's never going to be a day. I'm so sorry for all the African-Americans who think they can go kumbaya with every white person. It's not going to happen. Because the white people who might want to go kumbaya don't have more powerful. They're not powerful as the white people who don't want to do kumbaya. They don't have more money than them. They don't have more power than them. They don't have more influence. Look at Trump. Trump can kill, steal, lie, cheat, murder, rape, right in front of you in a film or do it right there live. And not a damn white person will come against him with no real solidified
evidence. The news, have you looked at his ratings?
He's a top. If he wins tomorrow, if he wins Iowa, and the next one, forget about it. He is the nominee for the Republicans. I know the man personally. He was a nice guy when I met him years ago when he was young. You know, he's much different now. But you know, but he got that white man behavior. You know, if you push them, they like a snake in the grass. You push them hard enough, they're gonna jump and bite you. You know, and Trump is biting. He's biting back, and one thing about a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man that got money and power in America, those white people do not feel. Well, white people in general in America, no matter if they're down and out and they're the lowest class thing in the world, they still feel they're better than everybody else. That's where the country teach them, okay? That's why people don't listen to nothing. Why in the hell can a high school dropout white man make $25,000 more than a bachelor's degree black man? Why? It ain't the poor white man with no education. It's not his problem. Who set that up? The white people, the government. The government got it set up. The American government is against us, and we don't even understand how the American government works. We don't understand how the setup is. It's been set up from the beginning. I always tell people, citizens can't do no more than what the government allows them to do. Me as a citizen, you as a citizen, all of it, whatever, wherever you live in the world, if your government restricts certain behavior, certain kind of conditions, certain kind of things, it will not happen. If you see too much things happening, if you see people taking advantage of certain things, that's because that government is giving them the leeway to do that. Okay? So what we see in America today has been going on for 400 years. They have intentions. They have no intent. And if African Americans think there's going to be a day where we're going to have kumbaya, thank you, and get together, you know.
Before we rattle on a little bit, let's check and see if anybody else is there to join our conversation, and then we will continue.
Okay.
Is there anybody else signing up with us?
We're
going to
open up 571-264. Your mic is open.
571-264, your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Okay, we're going to open up 37907.
Your mic is open. Welcome to the show. Let's hear you.
Anyone hearing me? Have I been heard? Let's say
yes,
no flow this way.
Yeah, welcome to the show, caller. We're hearing you. Welcome.
Yes. Blessed and greetings to everyone. Could you brief me? I came in late. I would love to be briefed on.
Well, we were talking about what's happening in the political arena. We are seeing that as Mr. Trump's popularity has soared double compared to who's second to him. We have Nikki Haley. She has 20%, and Mr. Trump is doubling his nearest. The person was second, so we are watching to see what white America wants. We speak also about what's happening in the world as far as Cat Williams, an entertainer, brought on some news, having some really big heads role in terms of what he's talking about. He mentioned Oprah Winfrey, T.D. Jakes. He mentioned quite a few important Hollywood people. I don't know if you know the news, but on TV Sunday, you catch the news. So here we are wondering what you want to weigh in on, and this Sunday, what news you want to talk about. It's often everybody's show as well. But be happy to call us if you came on, and what you want to share with us this evening.
Well, concerning the topic of Mr. Trump and these things that he's exposing now, well, it's prophecy time, and what was hidden from the wise and prudent now revealed to the babe and suckling. You see, all the corruption that men have been hiding is being exposed now, you know. So all we have to do is just give thanks, open our eyes, and be on the right side of life, you know. Because I remember in the biblical days when the decision was to be made by Pontius Pilate, they said, kill Christ and give us Barabbas. So Barabbas is on the rise, and Barabbas is ruling because it's the people who put in Barabbas, you know. And they know that he was not good for the nation and for the people. So they will have to face the judgment that they have brought upon them. So we as God's children now, we were brought up to live and to respect the Creator and love one another and follow the commandments of the Most High, you know. So we will continue to live by God's commandments and you know, fulfill His laws and His commitment and love and respect one another. So what happened to people? Them choose the devil, so the devil is ruling them right now, you know. So
I really like how you mentioned it, because in this very same case of elections is a case where the people will choose who they want. And if the people choose Barabbas, they'll have to live with Barabbas. So I like very much how you made a comparison. Now, you know, a lot of wisdom that we should see at this point in time is what the people want. At the end of the day, they're going to put their hand in ink, they're going to vote. And if they want Barabbas, they will have to live with it. So I thank you so much for sharing that part with us. That was a very important part of conversation. I totally agree what you said.
Enough love and respect, you know? Yeah?
Yes, Father. So again, thank you so much for calling. Do stay on the line and listening. You could always chime in at a later time. Let's see who else is there with us this evening. Dr. Robinson?
Yeah, we still have 571-264. Call back in. I know there's bad receptions all over the place. There's storms or whatever, you know, going on. A lot of coal and some parts of America, a lot of coal and storms.
Yeah, we have a little bit of stories in New York City. We have it stopped now because I thought maybe it was going to have a bigger set of snow, but we had a small activity for about an hour. And then it slowed down. I mean, I went and sleep, so by the time I wake up, I didn't sleep again. But there were some flurries, so I know there would be bad weather. And, of course, we live in the season, wintry time. Strong winds can cause us to have bad reception sometimes. And there was quite windy in the area within New York City. But here we are, the city Sunday. It's nice and warm inside. We have our family garden, as we normally do, you know, what we do here on Sundays. We speak the truth. We examine things that are normally placed under the rug. We take it out. We examine it. Our opinions are really ours, and we try as best as possible to share with each other wisdom of things that are pertaining to the truth as best as possible, for the truth shall set us free at the end of the day. We are seeing what is happening upon the earth right now. We know we are in an election year, 2024, as I stated earlier on, those of us who are really intrigued by numerology, we are in the year of eight. Eight is quite a completion. It's really two zeros attached to each other, right in front of each other, if we should look at it that way. That's the eight. Eight is the year also of karma. So we are watching to see the situations whereby karma reflects along the line. I like to call and think of karma as the big boomerang. You know, you throw it out, it's coming back at you, wap, 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 wap. So be careful what you throw out there, what's coming back at you. Do good and good shall follow you. But in extreme circumstances, whatever you do, be prepared to stand up for it and man up to it. We have seen exposures. It's a year of exposures. It's a year where we see strange things happening in every arena. We look at the political arena. We look at America right now. It's an election year. Heads are going to roll. Seats are going to change. People are going to be pushed out. People will be pulled in. We are seeing an international market as well. You know what we do on Sunday Sundays, we touch everything. I want you all to take a peep at London. Remember, you hear it here first. But King Charles is about to have to get stepped down. The sun is going to be placed in his powerful place. So we know that King Charles will soon have to say goodbye, and that young king have to come and take his rightful place. We know we're in the age of the Antichrist, and we have to watch how things coming down. But we will talk that for a different day, different time. But we know we give you snippets of the news to keep your eyes open. Watch out for England next with the big news, and we'll see what's happening. But again, you heard it here first on Sadie Sundays. So who else is there with us, Dr. Robinson? Is it a small group?
I know that's why I said for people to call back in. Some drop off, call back in. Definitely call back in, because you dropped off. Maybe people don't realize they dropped off, but they dropped off, so they got to call back in. I just want to also say that don't forget tomorrow, January 15th, is the national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King. It has some incredible writings, some books and stuff, some of his journals, some of his autobiographies, some of his books that he's written over the years. I think there's 16,000 transcripts that have not been written yet. And very interesting man. He has a lot of knowledge. He sat in the government with the presidents in the 1960s and the 50s, writing these bills and changing these civil rights laws and putting things in place so black people can participate in the American economy full force, so we can have the same rights as everybody else. And he came out with explaining to us what he heard and what happened inside of the White House, inside of the president, and then the Congress, and the Senate, and this and that. And he sat there with these guys, and he negotiated. And when he came out, he was like, okay, things don't look like the way they are, but here's what's going on. And so from a spiritual perspective, as a man of God, and from a natural perspective, as a man with common sense, he came and told us a lot. And we see a lot of the stuff that he talked about. You look at Dr. King's writings or look at his speeches from 1940 on up. He said a lot of things that's going on now. He warned black men and the black community about certain things that were going to happen. And here we are right now today, and people are acting the fool. Parents say kids acting up when company come around. And so a lot of these people are acting up right now. But God does everything for a purpose. God does everything for a purpose, and I'm a true believer that all things work for good for those who love the Lord and call by His purpose. But everything has a purpose to it, people. Anything you learn, my daddy used to say, everybody makes a mistake, and you're always going to make a mistake. It's not nobody's going to have a perfect year or a perfect month or a perfect day or a perfect minute or a perfect second. Everybody's going to make a mistake. And my dad said, that's not the problem. Making a mistake is not the problem. Repeating the mistake again and again and again and not learning nothing from it, my dad said, that's the fool. You make a mistake, you learn from it, and you don't repeat the mistake again. The Bible says, repent of thy sins and sin not again. Sin no more. And that's what Satan God is saying. You make a mistake, don't make the mistake again. So, we know what's going on in the world and society now, but there's a change coming, and either you, God, like Jesus said, either you're on my side or you're on the other side, but you can't be on both sides, because a double-minded man is what? Confused in all his ways. It's either my way or the highway. You got to pick a way, people. And so we're finding now, in the conditions that we're in now, black men are finding out They either with black men or they're on the other side, but they ain't talking on the other side. All these people like Dr. Umar Johnson say, all these guys marrying these snow bunnies and think they're getting away with life, think they're getting a better life, and they end up they're going through hell. The brother just now, the actress, went to jail because the girl, she chased him. He jumped out of the video I saw, he jumped out of the cab, he was running. And this girl was taking off the heels and hitting him and whatever kind of craziness she was doing, but she was a parasite. She was crazy, you know. And I see a lot of these brothers.
So he went to jail. Dr. Robinson was following that case. I saw the video where she was running after him after he was trying to get away from her. He went to jail?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was. He was convicted on two counts, and two counts he was acquitted on two, and so I don't know what the jail time is. I didn't follow that much, but you know, because this guy, you know, he has a little girl. He has children, and I think the girl is white as well. They have children with, and so he has an experience with this, and it seems like most of them guys, they keep on right back like Tiger Woods. You know, he have all the power with white women, and he just keep going back and back and back and back. Like love the pain, you know. I don't see why white women is that important, but you know, Dr. Umar Johnson says because you need that uplift, you need to make yourself feel better or make yourself feel whatever you feel, you know. But you know, I don't understand that whole logic of thinking. But it's there, and a lot of these guys have some good black women, wives in their lives, and they turn to the other side, and now they have this stuff in chaos. I don't understand it. You know, that's nothing. Another thing I don't understand. I'm just saying the world is full of misconception, lies, innuendos, and you don't understand everything. But I believe, to me, everything is dotted. The dots all meet at some time. Subsequently, people say, okay, marriage and love and white women and black men, that's separate from black men fighting each other and exposing each other like Cat Williams is doing. No, I see it all together. The confusion is all together. You're in Hollywood. You're in the music industry. Those are the people getting the most. And it seems to see that to me, the more successful these African-American men are, And I don't see that much from the women, you know. Just I know that Monique had a problem with Oprah as well because she didn't pay her good for Precious, that movie Precious. And then the problem that Monique had, they didn't pay her well, and then they asked her to go promote the film all across the world, and she said, okay, that's fine, but if I'm going to do that. Because you didn't pay me in the beginning, you didn't pay me for promotion. So give me some money, and I will go all over the world and I'll promote the movie. And they say, no, we don't have to pay you nothing. You just got to go, you know, spend your own traveling money, spend your own hotel money, your own food money, your own everything money, and go and promote this movie. And Monique said, no, it's not in my contract. You didn't pay me enough to do that, and it's not in my contract. Since you're starting something new, give me a new contract and give me some money. And Oprah refused. With all her money she receives.
But Dr. Robinson, we are examining things here. When somebody feels hurt over a certain situation, not because somebody is big and powerful like Oprah, you can't talk about it, because I see a case of Monique. She was actually hurt by Oprah. Whether we're not seeing right and wrong, but she was genuinely hurt. She broke down and cried. And we see even Taraji was hurt by Oprah. And then Taraji had to come back and powder it over. So we know the power of Oprah as well. She's a rich, powerful black woman within the community of entertainment. But we cannot put away the people who wish to talk about their pain. Oprah must have hurt a lot of people. She sure helped a lot of people with her money. She had a school for black girls in Africa. Lord knows what was her ulterior motive. But if she brings one pain, we must talk about it.
That means Oprah allowed her to do what the white man tells her to do. That's what it says. Because I will never understand. My thing is this. This is where I get off the boat with black people. I had an example.
That's why I was kind of close to your mic, because you seem to be drifting away a little bit. I don't know if I am sounding far away from my mic, but you sure are.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
This is where I get off with black people, okay? I'm giving an example. I know it might be a little diverted from what we're talking about. There was a woman in Ghana. I believe she was parents of Ghana. I think she was born in England. She was walking across the street. The soldiers in the whatever vehicle it was almost hit her, and she turned around and said, "Oh my God, what you did!" And she slapped the car. The soldier guy got out and he beat this woman. Okay, this was a discussion, and I'm gonna tell you who was the players in this discussion. This was a guy called the guy that got the videos all over the damn place talking about go black to Africa. Okay.
Yes, I know that.
In his discussion, there were Trinidadian men calling in, Jamaican men, Ghanaian men, Nigerian men, Ivory Coast, Antigua, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. Black men were calling all over the place. And they thought this was cute. They thought it was cute. They thought this, you know, because that's the culture in Ghana. They don't play. So I said, I was disgusted. I was disgusted. First of all, Go Black to Africa was born in Tanzania of African-American parents, because his father was a soldier or something, a diplomat or whatever it was. And so he was born in Tanzania, okay? My problem with the whole thing was they said that's culture, that in Ghana you don't talk back to the military, the police, or whatever, they beat you, whatever. The woman almost got hit. It's natural. If a car almost hit you, it's natural for you to feel something and you to say something and you to respond some kind of way. That's natural, okay? And she's a woman, and she's visiting Ghana, all right? So the whole thing to me looks ugly. It looks disrespectful. It makes people say, I'm not going to Ghana, because anybody put a hand on my wife is going to be a problem. And that's the other thing. It causes war. That girl has a husband, she has a father, she has a brother, a nephew, whatever. Anybody puts their hand on somebody in your family, it's time for war. Okay? That's the way it is with men. If a man, in my family, and I know the woman in my family loved the man, I would catch him behind out in the gutter and trickle with him or whatever it is, because that's the reaction psychologically. You can't think normal. Even your Jesus gets lost. Your God, your fear, all that get lost, and you go crazy. So I'm saying you're causing yourself, you're causing problems amongst men. When you put your hands on somebody, some woman, some child, some woman, some girl, you putting your hand on somebody's daughter, somebody's granddaughter, you don't know who that person is. No one person could be a crazy person. So I'm saying this man, for him to just jump out there and beat that woman like that, he don't know who her father is. He don't know who her brother, her husband. They could come back with a gun and just blow up the whole goddamn Ghana. You understand what I'm saying? So that's number one. My second question was, since this is culture, and I put it out there to all of them, Trinidadians, the Jamaicans, the Puerto Ricans, they were all on the phone. Every conceivable black man from all the damn world was on this thing, and they all thought it was a joke. Okay, and I asked all of them one thing. I asked this guy, black, he got go black to Africa. I asked him, I said, if it was a white woman, would they did the same thing? Everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. I said, hell no, he wouldn't do it to a white woman. No. Then I said, where's the damn culture? That's racism. That's internal hatred. That's internal racism. That's a person that hates their damn self. If you're going to beat up a black woman and you won't touch a white woman could smack you in the face, call you a nigger, and hit your car and throw wind up your car, and you won't do nothing to her because she's white, then that tells me that's not culture. That got nothing to do with culture. Because if it's culture, you'd be anybody or everybody. You understand what I'm saying? That's not culture. That's a punk. because you're going to pick and choose somebody you think is weak and ain't nobody going to do nothing about it. And you think that's what he did. He need a man to grab his behind and whip his behind, because that's not what a man is supposed to be about. There was nothing that serious that woman did that could cause anybody to just, unless you're a maniac, to jump out of your vehicle. Specifically, a professional person or a person of military background or police, you could have some kind of restraint. You can't just be like that. That's why we don't even have no respect for us as a people, because we don't respect our damn self. First of all, you got to have respect for yourself. Because whether people like it or don't like it, that thing went viral. It went all over the social media, it went all over the television, all the news, everybody talking about it. So the next time the white man decided to bomb Ghana because they want some natural resource from them, everybody would say, yes, what the hell, let them go bomb them. Because they're crazy people anyway. Black men understand you're being set up. You're being set up to look like a savage. You're being set up to look stupid. You're being set up to look dehumanizing yourself. How can, like my dad said, how in the hell can a person ask for respect when they can't give respect? A man on the walk of respect, talk of respect, and be respect. A man walks like that. When you walk respect, talk. I told my daughters, I say, listen, if you act like a woman, walk like a woman, talk like a woman, be a woman, a man is going to treat you differently than he would if you act any other different kind of way. That's what people have to act the way they want to be presented. So we as a people, especially men, because men are the leaders. Men is the one that people are going to look up to. When they destroy your men, they destroy everything. And I'm not saying women don't have a significant point, a significant position. They do. But destroy that head. Destroy that man. Everybody attacks men. White men, black men, Spanish men, Asian men, whatever men.
Well,
whatever
they're the head of the household, so that's why the attack will come definitely on men, because it's the head.
We men got to educate other men, and that's what I was trying to do with those brothers on that show. I was trying to explain to them, it looks terrible, number one. Then y'all got the nerve to tell me they only do it to black women. That's even worse. That's worse. Mm. Because you're starting a war. I said, let me explain something to y'all. If that was my daughter, I don't give a damn if they in West Hills. I get on the next thing flying. If I got to pay a private jet to get me there in whatever time frame it could get me there as quick as possible, I would go there and I would put my football parties behind it. What we live. I'm telling you, they don't know how people, it's one thing. And so the guy go back down and say, oh, my daughter's talking. They talking. They talking. Don't talk because a man going to do this and this and this. I don't care what a woman say and talk. Everybody had a woman come up and say something. That doesn't mean you have to react to every little thing. That don't make you a man. That don't make you anything great. And for you here to sit there and act like, you know, that's a joke. Y'all out your damn mind. You can't take people. Got to stop. People are grown behind people, 60, 50, 80 years old, acting like a little stupid child. They got to stop it. Got to stop it. And we got to stop looking at things from the perspective of a grown person. We got to start looking at things from the implications. This guy, go back to Africa. He's telling every African American, oh, go to Africa, because you're getting treated like hell in America. So you're telling me to go to Africa so my wife can cross the street and get beat up? Hell no. No, thank you. No, thank you. At least in America, you know, it ain't going to happen that quick. But if it does happen, I'm here that I can respond to it. I don't have to drive 10,000 miles to get to it to resolve the issue. But I'm just saying, we for all those men, and this is an international group, okay? They were all from all over the American, Caribbean, African, European, blacks in Asia, blacks in Middle East, the black people all over the damn place that I find out now. And they were from all over the place, and they all agree. They all agree, you know. One guy was trying to say, oh, I know she was American because she was talking. Okay, brother, that's the way you feel, you know. All right, have your way. But I'm
well, that's Robinson. I see who else is in with us for the evening. You're running.
It's the same.
We haven't
so had
half an hour for this one.
It's the same. So far, it's the same.
Crew hanging out. No problem. Is that type of Sunday? We have the small family gathering.
All the mics are open. If anybody wanted to say something.
Okay, all mics are open. If anybody wants to say anything, it's Sadie Sunday. We are running close to another half an hour show time. We don't have our full crew. I don't know what's happening. Ronnie called me earlier on. Did you hear from Ronnie, Dr. Ronnie?
No, I heard from him.
Yeah, and I was a little busy. I told him I would call him right back, and I went and sleep. Believe me, I woke up. I had a lovely evening sleep.
Yeah, I tried to reach out to him, see if he can pick up. I know the show is on, and I text everyone as well.
Yeah, Ronnie to talk. I don't know. Let me try to get him on. Because he wanted to say something. I tell him I'll catch you on the Sunday show. Let me see if I can get him on the WhatsApp. Let's see if I can get him over there. Meanwhile, we can continue our show.
Oh, can you call me, man?
Yeah, let's see if I can call him. Because he wanted to talk to me, and I tell him.
If you want to keep talking, I can call him.
Huh?
If you want to keep talking, I can call him.
Yeah, you. I'll stay talking. You can try to call Ronnie because he called on earlier on. He wanted to say something to us. And I told him I'd call him right back. And I said, I'll see you later on the show. So here we are. My phone is giving some kind of foolish kind of trouble. I'm running. But it's trying to throw me off of the show. What happened? So on Saturday Sundays, we spoke so many different things today. We spoke about the news, what's possibly happening with our elections. We speak how important it is with propaganda. Propaganda keep popping up at various different times. We know we can select the truth from fiction. There's so much happening in the news right now. It compels us to separate the facts from the fiction. But when something is happening, oftentimes we have to know there's a reason something is happening. There's a reason important information makes the news. We who pay attention, let's say to the fine print, let's take the news and get the facts of the news. Okay, that's wonderful, Dr. Ronson. I guess you really want to talk to me. So I'll probably call him back after the show just in case we didn't get him. I was hoping he came on.
Yeah.
It would have been a good place.
Well, I've got the message on both phones, yeah.
Oh, all right. A wonderful man.
The primary thing I'm saying is this, okay? I'm different than other people. First of all, I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with everybody. I don't just jump on board because it's excitement. I see a lot of these people. Hold on a minute. We got the man himself. He's on right now. We're going to give him, open up his mic. The man, the creator, the director, the banker. Everything. Dr. Winborn, we're going to let him in. Give him a nice hand, y'all.
Hi. Thank you for letting me in. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Dr. Winborn, welcome to the show. You know, it's a Sadie Sunday whereby you come here and you speak your truth and you get your slice of pie for the week. If you've been listening, you know we've been giving out a lot of dainty little muscles for those who are
have suppered us. We have had the main course already, so now we are in time for the dessert.
Listen, yeah. I tried to call in earlier. I called in. I heard part of the conversation. I looked to see what radio was the show. I'm like, okay, I thought this was a family show. But they seem to be talking about a very heavy subject. And then my doorbell rang, so I'm back.
Well, the part for 21 years and over is past now. We are doing general audience as we come close to the top of the hour.
Yeah, it's past 8 o'clock, so okay.
But importantly, so we spoke about Cat Williams and mm-hmm. that video he made that break the internet. I would like to know if I can make a video and 47 million people is going to be looking on. That should be a great day. So we're examining some truth, or rather, the fact that he was not afraid to say certain things and how much he had to protect that virgin hole of his that he spoke about. You know, it's 50 million a pop, but he was saying four times he turned down 50 million. So we see the craziness of the industry, and we see the large homosexual agenda, and we see that men are paying extra price just to defile someone. But we know that this is just to get some dirt on you, because once someone has dirt on you, you are now their slave, because they can often threaten to wave this piece of paper in front of you or this photograph that they have of you that you don't want anybody else to see. But what we are looking at, a man came out and spoke so many things, and there are people who should answer to this if it so be true. So here we are with Cat Williams. What are your views, Dr. Winborn, and what he has said?
Well, of course, like everyone else, I've seen bits and pieces of the interview. I will say this. There are those that he spoke about that have come out since the interview, but I haven't seen any of them that deny what he said.
Right.
So they've talked all around it. But I haven't heard anybody say, no, Cat Williams buying is not like this. It isn't what I did, that or the other. You know, so I'm listening to all of these things, and I appreciate Cat. But somehow or another, I still kind of see we got to be careful, because I see all of it as a distraction of what's really going on around us and what the authorities are doing while we're talking about who's zooming who. And so, I look at a lot of things and I say, okay, well, maybe that's a distraction. Maybe this is a distraction, but there's some things that's about to happen. There's some laws that's been passed. There's another pandemic on the way. And, with this new pandemic, there's new laws to go along with it that will allow you to be just kidnapped.
Well, you can be removed from your house without questions asked. You end up in the FEMA camp and you wonder what you're doing there.
Right, you wonder what you're doing there. And these are stuff that's going on, that's in place right now. And it's only part of a process that
happening. Crazy. No, did y'all hear the part where he said that
that's how he hear you.
He was supposed to get these
are you talking into the mic yourself?
Huh?
Are you talking into the mic yourself, like you cross the street?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Very low. Well, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
It just sounds the same. Okay. But maybe it's just my phone. Well, go ahead.
You hear me now?
No, it's my phone too. You're coming off very low.
You hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. But we wanted you loud and powerful, but we'll deal with this. You come through.
That's interesting. Anyway, did y'all notice that he said every part that he turned down, they gave it to Kevin Hart or somebody else or so forth and so on, that they were turning down these, it was very funny to me that they turned down these positions, right? Or somebody, Steve Harvey went and asked the guy, the producer, give him the part instead of Bernie Mac and blah, blah, blah. And it's funny to me that these producers will go back and say to Bernie, oh, Steve came to me and tried to get the part from you. Or they would say that they would say to Kat, oh, you know, we tried to give it to Kevin. We, you know, the one that you didn't want, we gave it to Kevin, you know, because Kevin wanted to do it so badly or he did it, whatever. So it's just funny to me that these producers would get involved in letting the next actor know what the other actor did, or if it was something facetious or something underhanded or something really in desperate need of to work. You know, it's funny to me that producers, I never know producer get involved in that part of it, you know, telling each actor, oh yeah, he did this and he did that. I never, because their thing is to get the damn movie done and, you know, without any kind of complications. So, you know, it was funny to me. And that's why I said it's about destroying the African-American male and have him destroy himself like they've been doing for the last 400 years. They let us self-destruct, and they put a couple dollars in front of you or put a little power, a little image in front of you and say, you know what, these are things you have to do in order to destroy the other people. And so a lot of them out there got money, got big-time money, but they're to their industry. And their industry has no intentions of letting the African-American male move nowhere, no level of power or independence. And so I see it as a continuation of the destruction of whatever power that we couldn't have gained.
Yes, Dr. Robinson, what we also need to look at as well, from a general consensus, these industries are run by the Chaldeans. So we are seeing an exposure here and a start of an event that could create a domino effect. But shall we look a little further and deeper if we want to look? If we want to look, this is not about the black people and who's whom and who, but this is about who controls the record industry and Hollywood. It is the Jewish people, and it is the filth of the Jewish people that we see, because it's their money who is backing Puff Daddy to go and say, here's $20,000 or $50,000 so I can have sex with a little boy. They are funding this industry. It's a desire for the black man to be inseminated. It's a desire and a hatred against black men to take away their masculinity and their power, because the black man is of the greatest enemy to every other race of men, because the black man in his raw state is really a man. If you line up any other man of any other race, and I'm telling you, you will not see masculinity or the alpha male of any male unless you look at a black man. Most other men could put on a dress and pass as a woman. A black man shows manhood, and it's a desire for the other men that you see, those Chaldeans. It's a great, great hatred of the power of that alpha male, the musk that smells off of a black man. His sweat is even different. His odor is different. And that is a case of total jealousy. So let's turn the black man to a woman. Let's break him down. And let's give him some money. Let's break him down. Let's break the black family. And it's coming from a community that is running Hollywood and is running the music industry. And that exposure I am happy for, because we are going to dig deeper into who's really running this shit. Money is being flowed into this industry for the destruction. Plenty young rappers came forward and they told you they were coaxed along the way in many different parties to be in sexual orgies and certain things like that. It's an opening, it's a calling, it's almost like an initiation if you want to make it. And why I know Kat Williams is not lying, I'm not in Hollywood, but I can speak up for myself. I was working in Empire State Building when a dirty, filthy Jewish rabbi told me if I'm not having sex with him, I won't have my job. And that's a gospel truth. I'm a little black girl from Brooklyn. I had to give up my job at the Empire State Building because of these freaking Chaldeans. I'm just telling you right now. So nobody's lying about nothing. And this man was a rabbi. I can call his name right now because I'm not afraid to do so. And he is a rabbi in New Jersey. And if I wasn't having sex with him, I couldn't stay at Empire State Building. So what shit people talking? I had to go through that because I wanted to be in the fashion industry. I was already there in Las Vegas with Donna Carr and Tommy Hilfiger and all the big greats. And if I wasn't sexing somebody, I can get up. And I was there for 1 month, so nobody could tell me. I could testify to what goes on. And I had to walk away and still be a poor woman. I could be a big top fashion designer with Donna Karan, but everybody has to sex me. I say, no, go sex yourself. And say, you remain, because it's a God I serve. So money wasn't important. So when we talk in this thing, say the ordinary poor black girl, as you're hearing tonight, I was in Empire State Building with the big designers. And those Jewish men, rabbi at that, I can lay down for them. And I tell them, go fuck themselves, you know, to say this Sunday. So I'm telling you what I told them. And that's why I say this still poor. I'm talking right now with you all. I could have been right there with Donna Karan and Tommy Hilfiger. But I was not prepared to do what they asked me to do. So I am telling you, my heart bleed for those other young black artists. I know it to be true. I was a victim of such circumstances. I speak of my own. And that is my truth. And there's a God above, so it is.
And you're right. And this older rapper, I forgot his name, he said something that was very important. He said, these black men got to stop selling themselves through, oh, I want to be the best podcaster. I want to have the best show. I want to have the best, the highest rating.
It was offered to me.
And so, like Shay Shay was a guy named Shay Sharp, the guy that had the show with Cat. So he knew Cat would bring in ratings, because Cat brought 16 million in that one day. And so now it's up to 25 million. But I'm just saying that Shay Shay knew if he had somebody exciting like Cat Williams talking about things, talking about that would bring on a lot of attention and whatnot. So the rapper was saying, the older rapper was saying, that black men got to stop using other men so they can get more money and more power, whatever they're looking for. And so that's why you have these kinds of, you know, all these kind of little, you know, crap that they put out there so that they can get ratings and they can get more people and they can make more money.
No, forget ratings, Dr. Robinson. My passion here is about the truth being told. Forget ratings, because I'm telling you right now,
but
I have been a victim in that circumstance, and I wish somebody could open their mouth and talk about it.
No, I'm saying it's important to them. Shay Shay, his show get 25 million.
No, Shay
got
45 million,
that,
but he did
makes,
not know.
That, but
he
I'm
did
saying,
not
that
know
makes
Cat
his
Williams.
Show, that makes his show makes more money. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
Dr. Money,
Robinson, but
more,
nobody
you know
Cat Williams was going to bring that kind of crowd. No one knew. No one knew.
Oh,
you
yeah,
cannot
they
predict
they
that.
Knew,
he burst the internet. But not
because,
that kind of crowd. Not that kind of crowd.
Remember when Shay Shay said that he was planning this since a year ago in 2022. He was planning.
Yes, but he never knew it would generate
this,
such an energy. He broke
oh,
the internet. Nobody
they
knew
know
that.
They
no,
know.
No.
They know because Cat Williams is a top entertainer. He draws.
Of course, he's ranking high.
His show. No, no, Cat.
Right, so he's got a show. Lot of top entertainers on his show. What has happened is that Cat Williams told the truth, and it just resonated right now with everything that's going on, because Oprah is tied into Diddy and Jake's and them, and then this girl Taji come out complaining about the money. So everybody is listening to everything, and then there's all this stuff that's going on about Diddy and Will Smith and da 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 da. So even if it was planned, it wasn't. They couldn't have planned it knowing that all of this stuff that was going on will be going on at this time right now. They're getting the hits that they're getting because Cat Williams being as open about it as he has been, and he's got the receipts and he's calling people names and everything on top of everything else that's going on. So that's why it's getting so many. That's why it's getting so many hits, because he was so honest and so open and so blunt. He was there, and you got all of these other stories circulating at the same time. In my mind, it's just like a perfect storm. That's why I said you have to be careful to make sure that everything that's going on that we're talking about now, it's not just a distraction from everything else that's happening in the world that we really need to be concerned about, like the United States and Great Britain bombing Yemen. We're not talking about that. It's things of that nature.
You're talking about the airstrike?
Directly into World War III.
You're not talking about the airstrike that America just landed?
Yes,
but
airstrikes America and Britain that did together on Yemen, and they're making threats to Iran.
Well, if you want to stir up some real foolishness, you just have to start. I thought Yemen was totally destroyed because America did a doozy on Yemen. Yemen doesn't even have cherubim legs anymore because the bombs took the legs and the arms off of the cherubim. You see cherubim walk around without arms and legs because the Americans have done that. But while this distraction is going on, anybody notice that Mr. Trump is 48% in the polls? The very same hateful Trump that everybody's talking about, he has 48%. Nikki Haley is 20%, and DeSantis is 16%. So while all of this about who's zooming who, we are watching that Mr. Trump is going to go right back into the White House while the Democrats is wondering what they're going to do with Biden. And all that as well is a well-designed plan because we know Obama is coming back around the country. So we are seeing a lot of scripts coming out. Yes, there are a lot of distractions, but we know we have to stay focused until what is really going on, because never we will know what is really going on until we scrape away all this mist and musk that they have thrown
right
upon us. And the fog,
right.
let's look through the fog, shall we?
Right, look through the fog. Right, so Cat Williams interview, yeah, of course I saw it. Very, very, very informative. He sounded very honest, very open. He didn't sound like he was, you know. And I believe that's why it has gotten so many hits. I didn't know that the number was up that high, but I'm not surprised hearing you guys say that because I've listened to it whenever I can. So I haven't heard the whole interview, but I've heard snippets of it. But again,
well, you know, he's talking about top comedians, you know what I'm saying? So when you talk about somebody that big, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on behind closed doors because people got their own configurations in their head anyway. But they, you know, like the Bible says, a lie was spread all over the place because the lie sounds more juicy than the truth. I just think, to me, he said stuff, but a lot of stuff wasn't clarified. A lot of stuff had a lot of unfactual stuff. A lot of stuff didn't connect. And they're all saying, they go back and one guy says against this guy. And then you don't know, he's like your children. They say, no, I didn't do it. He did it. He did it because of this. And then you're
right,
trying to figure out who said what and who did what. And sometimes, you know, it sounds like, you know, a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo.
Well,
I mean, listen. You got gay celebrities and aliens.
The Bible says, fool, believe every word, but wise men sort it out diligently. And now this is the age of prophecy. A lot of things will be coming out. But, you know, we got to sort it out diligently. And I heard the Empress speak of propaganda. You know, propaganda is the devil's tool also. So we got to, when we hear things, we got to sort them out for ourselves because this is the age of what was hidden. It's coming out. And His Imperial Majesty, Emperor I, King Selassie's speech is beating up the world today until the philosophy that owes one race superior and another inferior is finally, totally destroyed and abandoned. This is just the beginning of wars.
They say war, but my caller, I would like very much how you have brought the words of the king, Haile Selassie the First, because one youth who was not yet informed, and we the elders, because now I'm heading up into that great age of being the elder. I am
of
really
course.
Accepting my gray hair, because one youth without wisdom, he said, listen to what Bob Marley say. And true, Bob Marley sang it, but it was the words of the great. Haile Selassie the first. So
my caller, I have to contact wisdom.
You don't say this, and there's a few wisdom on the side. So for those who are below 30 years old, will think Bob Marley said it. No, it was the king himself that said it. So caller, I thank you so very much for the piece of wisdom. Because
enough love and respect every time.
This piece of wisdom had to be shared because many people, not even young ones, but even older ones, think Bob Marley first said that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to know this was
the teacher.
Rastafari. So I feel so good that we have brought the king into this conversation. We are coming close to the top of the hour. You know how we do it. We have about 1 minute to go. We always tell ourselves that when we are having such fun, where does the time go? Funny how time flies when we are having fun. We are moving to the top of the hour, 1 minute to go. You know how much we love each other on this side. It's a City Sundays. It's for Ethiopian Women's Federation, Local 26, Women Auxiliary, that we come here to sit, chat, and talk with each other. It's a platform that we offer also to other locals, that should they have a problem or should there be a real emergency, this is where we will come to find out what we do next, because in a time of war, we have to know where we're going. It's a wonderful umbrella to run under. Give your views. Tell us what you think. And, of course, we do it for the local. We do it for Ethiopian World Federation. We thank you very much, my co-host, Dr. Robinson, a wonderful co-host who has 100 adjectives for my name, all very nice, beautiful things. And I love you very much, Dr. Robinson. Thank you to Dr. Winborn, who has been the visionary for the show. He saw it happening, and we thank him so much. And, of course, the wonderful guest who came on tonight, another member of our federation, we thank you too for sharing your views. It's coming close to 9 o'clock hour. We love everyone, and this is Sadie just saying to you, good night.
Bless
and
love.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been?
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's got to get
better.
Oh, gotta get better.